Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. It is the 30th day of November 2011. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours. Lyndon LaRouche, a geopolitical analyst and historian, former presidential candidate, will be joining us coming up in the second hour. Syndicated radio host Eric Mancal Muller will also be joining us. And, of course, General Hamid Ghul is going to be joining us for the next 30 minutes. They did pass the bill in the Senate to secretly arrest U.S. citizens and never be seen again. And to use the military on the streets of America, they've overthrown Posse Comitatus with this if the president signs it. He says he's going to veto it. You know why he's going to veto it? He says he has the power outside of Congress. He can already arrest citizens and send them to Guantanamo Bay. So don't think his veto means anything. This is basically the executive and the legislative fighting with each other. Now they're trying to pass a bill for total torture. So the entire republic is being overthrown right now. Federal Reserve is going to bail out its European bank owners. That's all coming up. Incredible things are unfolding, but our audience listening on XM, AM, FM, shortwave, satellite, Infowars.com is really lucky and blessed to be able to hear from General Hamid Ghul. He is a retired general who served as Director General of the Inner Service Intelligence, ISI, Pakistani Intelligence, the premier intelligence agency in that country between 87 and 89, winning the war against the Russians during the late stages of the Soviet-Afghan War. He was involved in the whole thing, of course, and was involved in the war with India as a frontline tank commander before that in his younger years. And he joins us now. Ghul's tenure as the head of the ISI coincided with Benazir Bhutto's term as the Prime Minister of Pakistan. And he joins us now to break down the incredible developments. We'll talk more about it in the next segment with the Russians saying they're going to block the roads in from the other side into Afghanistan, Pakistan blocking the main supply route into Afghanistan, Russian warships going up by Syria, because Russia recognizes the banks that run this country are desperate. They want to start a global war to cover up all their criminal activity. General Ghul, we've only got a few minutes. We're going to come back from break, but it's good to have you with us. In a two-minute summation, are we creeping closer to World War III?
I hope not. I hope not. I don't think we are going to go over the brink. Pakistan would also, I'm sure, exercise sobriety in the end. But it is only a paradigm shift which is needed on part of America, which is going to pull us out of this quagmire. So we have to wait and see how American policymakers, because they never stop surprising me. They shoot themselves in the foot every now and then. And this is the most critical period. They have to pull out from Afghanistan. They lost the war. And I don't know why they are doing all this. So really, we have to show that, because there is a possibility, as you very rightly said, that we could go to war because of Israel and India, not because of America, not because Americans want this to happen to one of their staunchest allies, Pakistan. No, not at all, because that is not in their interest. But whose interest is being served in this case? It's amazing that Americans are paying in blood and money and in their reputation, in all the dreams that Americans have been harboring. They have to pay a huge price simply to satisfy some of those spoiled children, two of them, mainly Israel, because Israel has brought India on board and so on and so forth. So you've got to be very careful that we don't go over the brink.
General Hamid Ghul, again, is our guest, and he's going to be with us for two long segments coming up after this break, and we'll recap all of this, General, and get into the incredible developments. Why would they attack that Pakistani military base and kill more than 24 people? We'll cover that with really the top expert. The establishment hates their former ally, General Hamid Ghul, so much they've called him the real head of al-Qaeda, which, of course, is a complete fabricated joke. We know al-Qaeda has been given control of Libya and is now attacking Syria and works for the globalists. We'll be right back.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got a very important guest right out of the gates today. It is Wednesday, the 30th day of November, 2011. And 4 days ago, today's the fifth day, there was an attack on another Pakistani military base, killing at least 24 people and injuring scores of others. There are NATO, CIA, U.S. Army drones flying around all over the place, killing people in Pakistan, Afghanistan, you name it. Total bedlam, an attempt to destabilize the country. And General Hamid Ghul, former head of the Pakistani ISI, former frontline commander, also in a war with India decades before that, really the mastermind behind beating the Russians, a former big U.S. ally, has been called by major publications the real head of Al-Qaeda. And that's just, of course, absolutely asinine. And he joins us now we couldn't get any better expert. He's one of the main experts over in Pakistan on their national television. We couldn't get a better expert who's been there and seen it at every level to break down what's really going on. And in the times he's joined us in the last 4 years, he's always given us accurate assessments. We're getting the truth from General Ghul, something we don't get from our occupied government. And so breaking down what this attack means, the supply lines being shut down from Pakistan into Afghanistan, the Russians shutting down supply lines, Russia threatening yesterday to attack Poland. They said, you know what, go ahead and move your missiles in. We're going to go ahead and attack. Go ahead and do it. I mean, this is huge escalations. So General Hamid Ghul, General Ghul joins us. Sir, you've got the floor. Break down what happened with the attack, the incredible anger in Pakistan, the hardening of the line there in Pakistan, why you think this happened, and where it basically brings the world right now.
Well, we can speculate on this, Alex, and first hypothesis, as we call it in the military, the first possibility is that they want to extend war into Pakistan, because they've been always calling AFPAK battlefield. Now, naturally, they have been using their drones indiscriminately, killing nearly 3,500 people, and most of them very innocent people, really. There may be just a couple of dozen Al-Qaeda operators there, and low-level operators. There was no high-level operator except one or two. The rest of the people were innocent Pakistani women and children, and their cattle and their properties all have been destroyed because of the drone attack. But unfortunately, in spite of Pakistan's democratic institution coming out very strongly, unanimously, to stop the drone attacks, requesting the Americans to stop them, they never stop them because they don't respect democracy in Pakistan. This is the problem. So gradually, the democratic institution began to lose their image in the eyes of the people, and army's image is going up as it decides to say, okay, we will confront the Americans if necessary. So, in fact, it has damaged democracy in Pakistan so much. But this particular attack, it was the final nail in the coffin of our relationship. Why did they do that? That's the first hypothesis that I was saying, that they want to extend war into. It would be madness of the first order, because that will push Pakistan into the lap of China, for all you can, I mean, politically. That's the political impact. The second case is that, is this war winnable if they open a front towards Pakistan and the theater of war? Is it possible at a time when America stands exhausted, their allies, European allies, they want to leave Afghanistan as quickly as possible? The economic situation, America is in shambles. The market forces are really not being able to pull themselves together. So this is a situation, this hypothesis I rule out, that they are prepared to, because if they continue to push this way, Pakistan against the wall, then Pakistan may well, Alex, I'm telling you, may turn out to be China's Israel in the future. And that is not going to be good for anybody. I mean, this is a horrendous scenario which must be avoided. The other thing is that then why have they done this? Because if it is ridiculous to come in for an attack at this time, the second hypothesis, and I think my leading hypothesis, is that there is a tussle going on between the White House and the Pentagon and the neocons and the lobbyists of Israel and India. They are somehow, they are pitched against the withdrawal, and particularly quick withdrawal. They want America to hang on, pay in blood and money. And there is another element which is very interesting. These are the security contractors, 100,000 and 5,000 more. I mean, 105,000 security contractors are now making hay in Afghanistan because there's so much money unaccounted for which goes into their pockets. And who are these guys? They are the ex-FBI, the ex-former CIA, and former military men. So they are making a lot of money. These old cronies of the serving generals are now really into, their hand is in the till, and they are making immeasurably amount of money. And there is another group, and these are security contractors also. They are in cahoots with the smugglers, the drug traffickers. And last year, the volume of opium produced in Afghanistan was 6,500 tons, which was down to 50 tons in the last year of Taliban rule in Afghanistan. So these 6,500 tons of opium on the open market would fetch something like, as a raw opium, it will fetch something like $5 billion. Now, this is a huge amount of money. But I am surprised that there has been no halt, because Pakistan has been traditionally the narcotic route towards Karachi and beyond. But for the last 6-7 years, there has been no big haul in Pakistan, no catches in Pakistan. So how is this so much of opium going across? Because this is 90% of world supply. So,
General, let me stop you there, because you obviously don't see a lot of U.S. television, but you can just type in U.S. troops protect poppies or protect opium into YouTube or Google. You will get BBC, CBS, ABC, and they just show the reporters going, in a new policy, and this is the last 5 years, we help grow it. We don't discuss where it's shipped. It's freedom. So they're publicly, I'm not kidding, I know it's crazy. They ship it here, and then when they catch people using it, they throw them in prisons owned by the very banks that launder the drug money. So it's a new level of drug dealing where they actually, the drug dealers actually put you in their prisons. But so obviously they want to stay there. You know, it's about the hundreds of billions of street value a year, as you said, 90% of opium production. But where is it going now that they've attacked this base? Now that the Russians are doing this, where do you see the situation in Afghanistan going as resistance mounts as we go into the 11th year coming up?
Yes. Now, this is a very precarious situation. And I said that China has also come out strongly in favor of Pakistan. And I described to you that China, over time, may become to Pakistan like America is to Israel. So Pakistan will have no choice than to come under the umbrella of China. And China, obviously, is not disinterested with the amount of money they have, and they're flexing their muscles here and there. And this would keep India on the wrong side of history, because India is being backed by America, and America is losing the war. They are losing their image, and they are being threatened from now all directions. I think they'll look at the timings in which they have attacked Pakistani posts. It means they have hurt themselves more than anyone can hurt them. But at a time when 10,000 troops were to be withdrawn by 31st of December. So what happens to that? Because there was an attempt to find a face-saving formula by going to the bone. Earlier on, there was Istanbul. And what happened to Istanbul? It was a fiasco. And now it was bone, and bone is no-go without Pakistan's participation. So the net result is that you have lost so much diplomatically, politically. Already economic loss is very much staring you in the eyes. And now you have strategically beginning to lose. So this is a very difficult situation. situation for America today. I think if they don't set their bearings right, it is going to hurt them a lot more than it appears at the moment.
But let me stop you, General, because, look, I mean, I know you're sophisticated and the Pakistani people are sophisticated, but we have been seized by the big six megabanks. They are imploding Europe and bragging that Goldman Sachs, the main Federal Reserve owner, has conquered Europe through fraud. That's in our news. They are militarizing the police. They are setting up checkpoints in America. They are saying they can arrest us, torture us publicly now. I mean, this is some of the most brazen tyranny ever seen being publicly announced like it's no big deal. So clearly, the folks in Pakistan need to know America has been seized by a global criminal interest that wants to destroy America's name, that wants to destroy Pakistan. And I don't know how worldwide we fight such a threat that works through hijacked nations playing them off against each other.
Yeah, Alex, the sinister element, the dark element in American society, which has seeped deep into and they have gotten control and clout over all the policy making, is somehow now so strong, you may have to fight for your freedom afresh. So it is amazing that such a lot of things are happening, and the American people are still not, there is no movement like moratorium way back in the days of President Nixon. There has to be a movement. The people of America have to rise against their own policies, against these coercive elements which are trying to destroy the American dream. They are trying to destroy everything. They are trying to rail against their own best friends in the world. Pakistan has been their best friend. Pakistan has paid such a huge price. And Pakistan has done so much for America, people seem to have forgotten that. And this is a situation in which America seems to be on self-destruct. But it is not because of the American people, who are very innocent and very nice, very humane, very nice people to begin with. I think they respect democracy, they respect the human rights of other people as much as they respect their own rights. Then who is doing all this? We generally know who is there. But confederation of, I would say, thugs and swindlers, cheats, this is now getting the upper hand, unfortunately. And they are, as you very rightly said, they are destroying America and they are destroying the world.
Well, yes, sir. The main financial advisor to Obama is Corzine, the former governor of New Jersey, the former head of Goldman Sachs. He made a 40-1 bet with MF Global money just to show the reckless psychology of these people. And when it didn't go well, the government allowed him to take private bank accounts and brokerage accounts of people in sub-companies that MF Global had bought. And I've had financial experts on. The news admits it's illegal, but the government's going to let them do this. I mean, that's what's scary, is that when you realize these swindlers and bank fraud people that run everything, they don't know military tactics. They're losing touch. And it's been multiple U.S. generals, Admiral Fox Fallon and others, who refused to attack Iran, who refused to attack. And the only reason we didn't do this earlier. I mean, that's what I'm saying, is these people are insane. And I don't know how we get rid of them, minus another George Washington 1776.
Yes, absolutely. But look at the character of the generals at this time who are in office, in charge at this moment in Afghanistan. If they play along with these elements, as I described, the dark elements, the sinister elements within the American policy-making body, then I think they are not being loyal to their own country. They are not doing their duty, because you have to always weigh the cause and effect. What is the cause and what is going to be the effect? And on that scale, they are net losers. America is a net loser. So why are they doing things which will eventually put America in a hole? This is a very peculiar situation which has to be handled and which has to be addressed by the people of America. Nobody else can chastise them other than the American people themselves.
General Hamid Ghul is our guest for another 10 minutes, and we appreciate him giving us time here today. Very busy person. I mean, really, when you study psychology, you study history as a general, as a former head of a famous intelligence agency who was very successful defeating the KGB, NKVD, the Russian military, all of them, you have to know the enemy. So looking at your enemy, the global megabanks, my enemy, the global megabanks, this global corporate globalism, they do want to destroy America while using us to carry out the next phase of their operation. They've moved our industry to China, so it is part of a larger double cross. They're going to implode America just like Europe next, but they want a war in the middle of that. Knowing the enemy, and that's the key, as you know, to winning a war and having supply lines, you know, those two paramount peaks together, those twin peaks. What concerns me, General, is now I see delusion in the elite. There's still a strategy, and I see the gambits, but it doesn't make sense in the end. Even if command destruction, order out of chaos is their overall excuse, it isn't going to work. I mean, the Russians now are threatening to start attacking countries. And the history shows the Russians will do things like that. I mean, this is so dangerous. Getting into the minds of these people, I know you've tried to do that probably. What do you think's driving them right now? What's driving Israel? What's driving the big banks? What's driving England?
Greed and fear. Greed and fear. There is a fear in Israel. There is fear in India that if the Americans leave and the Americans, they will be standing absolutely perched on the wrong side of history. And as far as the banks are concerned and corrupt corporate America, corrupt corporate Europe, the corporate world is despicable. Now, this really is tantamount to virtually, if you translate it, its spirit, that means corruption. So they are so corrupt that now you can't retrieve them. You've got to demolish them. Because you have to survive. The nations have to survive. America has to survive. It is important that America survive. Then these elements have to be cut out. There have to be surgical operation against them.
Well, they're certainly waging war against free humanity and every basic liberty and overthrowing the entire Bill of Rights and Constitution right now. But I guess in the final equation, General, the good news is everything that they're touching is turning to garbage.
Yes, indeed, it is. It is because this act of 4 days ago when they struck our security post on the border, I think this has really turned the scale against them. And now they can't, now it has to be reckoned with. You have to be now, you have come to a point where it's a tilt point and you've got to change your ways and you've got not to listen to those people who have been putting America in the wrong track, on the wrong posse.
Now, could there be another strategy? I mean, it looks like a bungle, but could the strategy be try to create political discord to destabilize the government of Pakistan as a desperate fleeing forward to start a new war with Pakistan? I mean, could this be conscious? Because they've done this, three or four times now in the last year, killing Pakistani troops, correct?
My dear Alex, if this was the design, then I think it has failed miserably because it has put the American, the Pakistani government and Pakistan armed forces on the same page. If there was any daylight on account of this famous memo that was written by Hussein Haqqani, our ambassador in America, there was a daylight between the armed forces, the establishment, and the political government. But that is gone now. With this one act, the Americans have really brought the whole nation, alerted them, everybody's out on the streets, people are shouting against America. There was already no love lost for American policies. But now I think it has really crossed all limits.
In closing, what's your view on an Iran strike? Israel's moving their Jericho missiles into firing position. My intel from people in U.S. intelligence is currently the green light's on. What's your take on that?
No, they will never do that. They can't defeat Iran. They have 278 sites which they will have to be taken out. That is impossible. Then 60% of oil supplies of the world can be cut off in a couple of days by Iran. No way that they can win this. It will be a sheer madness, and America must take clear of this. If Israel wants to do it, leave them, tell them, give them the warning. If you do it, go it alone. we will not be with you. It's your business. You want to do it. And they were rubbed so badly in south of Lebanon in 2006. How dare they do it if the Americans don't give go ahead to them?
Well, yes, that's what Mullen, when he left, told him, don't do it. It's crazy. Panetta's told him it's crazy. The former head of Mossad, they removed him because he said it was crazy just a year ago. And that's what I'm being told. Everyone's telling him it's crazy. It's going to unify all the Arabs, all of the Persians, all of the Central Asians. Don't do it. But Netanyahu thinks he's going to be like Churchill and that it's going to make America come to his aid.
I think he should be summoned to America and put through a psychiatric test. I think this man is psycho. He has got to be reined in for the love of this world, for the love of freedom, for the love of people of America and the rest of the world.
Well, if everybody, even in the establishment, is smart enough to tell him not to do this, we do know there's covert bombings going on against the facilities right now in Iran. That's now basically being admitted. What's your view on Iran just taking this?
No, Iran is showing restraint, and I think it's just as well. But I was in Iran only a month back, and I found that nation is unperturbed about all the threats which are being dished out to them. They are united, and whatever there was a little fissure politically, in the society, that immediately has disappeared after the threat from Israel, and they have closed their ranks. Now they are even more united than before. So really, I don't know. I don't think Israel will do that. I hope not. I really, for sake of humanity and for the future of mankind, I hope this never happens.
All right, General Hamid Ghul, thank you so much for spending time with us. Hopefully you can update us as big developments take place, and I hope we can all have peace and friendship worldwide between Americans and Pakistanis. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Alex. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, we are back live. I am Alex Jones, your host. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got Eric Mancow Muller, syndicated radio host, joining us in the first 20 minutes of the next hour. Then Lyndon LaRouche is joining us. And then we'll have open phones for large portions of the third hour today. In fact, I'll probably even try to take some calls while Lyndon LaRouche is on with us. If you have any economic questions, again, I don't endorse some of LaRouche's solutions, but his analysis of who runs the world, the eugenics population control program, they were one of the first groups 30 years ago to accurately track exactly what was going on. And I'd read their stuff 16, 17 years ago and go, this isn't true. And I separately, doing my own original research, found that they were telling the truth. And it's, again, some people go to Disney World and say, I discovered Disney World. You know, you discover it for yourself. I'm not even saying I found original stuff. I'm saying I went out separately and kept running in to this information. They've got it dead bang on. Dead bang on. And, of course, LaRouche was also advisor to Ronald Reagan, of all people, and was the CIA director, called him the best private intelligence analyst and all the stuff in the Washington Post. And boy, the government, George Herbert Walker Bush, got jealous and they threw his butt in prison. Now, we've got a bunch of reports coming in. Foreclosure fraud whistleblower has been found dead. MSNBC is reporting just incredible information on that front. More news on Fukushima radiation risk are severely underestimated. No kidding. We're going to be getting into all of that. We've got incredible federal orders now, basically following the orders of Herr Lieberman, to extrajudicially start delisting anti-government, quote, terror-supporting websites off the web, just delisting them so you can't find it. We're already have been delisted from Google News, Infowars.com, and PrisonPanda.com in the last year. They've moved us down in the rankings, even though we're number one. They're doing everything they can, but now there's government announcements that they're ordering that whole databases of terms they give Google be delisted. And this is kind of an a la carte internet kill switch. I've got that in the news that I'm going to raise with ManCow and some other issues coming up in the next hour. But just huge developments that are taking place right now. That's why more than ever, you've got to get the URL of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com out to everybody you can. Spray paint it on the side of your business. Spray paint it on your billboard or the side of your barn if it's your property. You know, we don't say write it on bathroom stalls over the cuss words. You don't want to censor the cuss words. That's wrong. I'm not saying if there's some globalist Homeland Security billboard to climb upon it and spray paint Infowars.com. We should let them have a traitor Senate who says they're allowed to insider trade and be public criminals, pass laws saying citizens can be arrested, held forever, tortured, killed, whatever. That's George Washington would love that. We shouldn't do anything to try to resist this. Okay, I'm being sarcastic now. The point is that they're slowly accelerating their program, and now they're getting pretty much to a jog now of censorship and control, blotting out thousands of domains a month. It is on. So that's coming up. Huge financial news as well. In fact, it's now in the news. Bloomberg, Fed lowers interest rate on dollar swaps. And if you look at this, it's basically just more free taxpayer money to the European Central Bank, which is really the same shareholders of the Federal Reserve. So it's just one hand giving it to the other hand. But the hands are attached to the same system. Fed lowers interest rate on dollar swaps. Six central banks led by the Federal Reserve lowered the cost of emergency dollar funding for financial companies in a global effort to ease Europe's sovereign debt crisis. And that sent the markets up. Then a week from now, they'll be back down. They'll be, give us another giant bailout. And the markets will go up. And then, oh, they went down a new crisis. As they take over every country and say, we'll fix your economy for a few weeks if you just give us total sovereignty and promise to raise all your taxes to pay to the private banks who actually engineered the fraud. I mean, it's that brazen, it's that naked. Here's some of the other headlines. Bank downgrade rampage. Goldman, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup just got cut by S&P, Standard & Poor's. Standard & Poor's rating service just cut the ratings of Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Citigroup from A to A-. So it was A+, then it was A, now it's A-. Now you see the cities and counties and states starting to go bankrupt. It is beginning. And it'll all be imploded into this new global mega bank that issues global bonds. First a Europe bond, then a global bond. And they'll say, if you're tired of the depression, give your sovereignty over to the banks. And we're like, but wait, those are the same bankers that engineered this. Delist their website, shut them down. You know, we just got new government documents yesterday, which the government admits. They list mainline libertarian websites like antiwar.com. They list the Oklahoma City bombing investigative committee headed up by State Rep Charles Key. And it's got the former head of the grand jury, Hoppy Heidelberg, and victims and families of members of victims of Oklahoma City who were there saying, hey, we've got the footage of the bombs in the building on local news. We got police saying there were bombs. We've got the ATF showing up minutes after, dressed up in bomb gear. We've got the witnesses in the building saying they saw feds planting big gray sticks of butter who they said were telephone men the day before, McVeigh with known federal agents. You know, we've got all these federal memos that have been leaked and lawsuits that have gotten the FOIA requests that show the government was involved, and the FBI head of counterterrorism was there that day, lied about it publicly to Congress. We want an investigation. You know what Homeland Security has them listed as? Domestic terrorist. In fact, I want to get State Rep Charles Key on about this. It says they are terrorist. It actually says under domestic terrorism, Homeland Security. And they actually give this to every police department. oh, officers, if they investigate the government blowing this up, they're terrorists. I mean, we have criminals in the government, bought and paid for by the mega banks. They're trying to fully convert us over to a tyranny, and the tunnel only gets deeper and darker if they, you understand, there's no America, there's no nothing. They want to destroy the free market. They want you poor. They want to end the American dream. And cowardly going along with this is only going to empower the system. Do we have that RT clip from yesterday ready? We do, good. On the nightly news last night, I played this clip and I played other senators admitting that, yes, it's for U.S. citizens, including John McCain. And I want to get to that in a few minutes. And then Dew is converting the clips from last night's show. I forgot to tell him so I can play them here. He's transferring them off that computer system over to this system. I don't know. The files they have over there don't play over here. So we're waiting on those so that I can play you the clips that we put together for the nightly news last night. Of all these senators going, yes, this legislation does allow the secret arrest and permanent detention of Americans with no judge, no jury, no nothing. The army will rule America. Just absolute total tyranny. Just 100% secret arrest. You disappear. And they've said in other rulings, we can kill you. We can torture you. Just absolute Joseph Mengele level, off the charts. Just North Korea. North Korea. And they'll slowly implement it, of course. It'll be a bad man. It'll be a child molester. It'll be an Al-Qaeda to say, well, you know, they don't deserve any due process, so that you never find out what really happened. I mean, just total 110% bondage. It says if you're suspected by any branch of the military, you're gone. And I have Rand Paul talking about it. I have McCain admitting it. I have Lindsey Graham admitting it. I have all the clips. And still, oh, by the way, the bill passed the Senate. And it's going to go into conference, but the House passed a similar bill. So now it's going to go to Obama's desk. He says he's going to veto, which I've got to say is good. But remember when they tried to give him this power last year, he said, well, I can still have secret arrest and kill American citizens abroad or domestically. I don't need Congress to pass this law. They tried to pass it last year. So last year, I haven't seen Obama's threatened veto statement. It's not public yet. He just said, we'll have a veto. But I did see it last year, and it was, I already have this authority. I don't need you to give it to me. So the lawyers are like, don't even have it under law. That implies that this tyrannical act could be repealed at some time. Execute it through the executive, just as you have done with the new wars you have launched. Don't call it war. Throw that in the slave's face. Destroy the meaning of logic and language. Sire. Of course, he's actually just a minion. Came out, Rahm Emanuel cracks his knuckles in meetings, bosses Obama around, verbally slaps him around. And, of course, Emanuel himself is a puppet. But you know, that's basically the view. We will begin robo-signing, even though it's been ruled to be illegal. In your bills. Throw it in their face. No president has ever served as the head of the UN Security Council in its 60-year history plus, but you will serve as the head of the rotating post. That's why they had the Rockefellers and they had Kissinger and Brzezinski, and I showed the clips. It's in Fall of the Republic. But they are there at the UN in New York, and they're shaking. They're laughing. Some of them have tears in their eyes. They're going, oh. And they actually said on the news, this is quite a moment for them. Seeing the president over the UN while he's president. It's against Article 9, Section, I forget. Actually, on the back of Fall of the Republic. Hold on. I know a lot about the Constitution, but sometimes I... Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution, by seating himself at the head of the United Nations Security Council. Again, he's brazenly violated Article 1, Section 9. The first president to chair the council. And... I mean, they had tears in their eyes. The level of squatting on us and spitting in our face and dragging us through the mud. And now they've introduced new legislation to openly say unlimited torture. For false confessions, terror, fear, they already have had federal and state courts rule. Police can taser you to make you answer questions. I thought there was a Fifth Amendment. No, you can actually type into the search engine. I've seen this in the last 6 years in Florida, New York, and other states. They've had federal and state judges rule. Oh, the gentleman would not answer questions while at the hospital, So he was restrained and tasered 19 times until answering. And of course, that was because of a lawsuit. The guy had a heart palpitations and a mild heart attack, and the judge said, we can kill you. And the media is saying, hey, let ESPN cover up child rape for 10 years. That's come out. And I've heard him defending it. You know, it came out with Syracuse and all this. The wife saying, yeah, he's raped kids in front of me. And the media is like, well, let ESPN cover that up. What's the big deal? Murder, torture, rape, death, tasering people, strapped down. And it's just more evil. They're going to start taking the bank accounts. They're going to start grabbing more of your kids. They're going to unloose every evil force you can imagine. Forced abortions, all of it coming to America. Forced inoculations, all of it. They're already saying in the news, oh, well, if you're on welfare, because they've created this meme of these lazy welfare people having kids. It's like, oh, you get to have welfare, but now you have to have an abortion. Or, oh, this child was 70 pounds overweight. You know, he was 200 pounds in the third grade. Doesn't matter, his dad's, you know, 6'5" and stocky. Sure, he's a little overweight. We're going to go ahead and take your child and put him on an amphetamine and basically burn out their brain and heart to make them lose, you know, 80 pounds or whatever. And then next, you read the guidelines. If your child's 1% over body weight, they're going to take them. It's all been announced. Again, they set up just maximum evil. Maximum evil. Evil isn't funny. Evil isn't a joke. Evil isn't cute. Evil isn't fun. Hitler's not fun. Mao's not fun. Stalin's not fun. Kim Jong-il's not fun. None of this is fun. Turning loose psychopaths and sociopaths and control freaks and masochists and sadists is not fun. See, every culture for thousands of years, these people manifest something. It's a tropism. They manifest black uniforms, bloodletting, war, sacrifice, death, because for the 1% who are psychopaths, it is beautiful. And they want it, so they're going to get it. Now, before I get to the latest on this, let me just play a short clip when I was on RT yesterday. And some people said, Alex, you got upset towards the end of the clip. Why'd you get upset? Ladies and gentlemen, because they were set to pass the bill, and they did pass it. And something's wrong with you if you don't get upset. The full clip's up at InfoWars.com. Something's wrong with you if you don't get upset when the most hardcore legal tyranny is put into place. I mean, that the Senate would say, we can arrest citizens secretly. And I mean, you literally disappear. Where's Bob? We don't know. There's rumors the people that are disappearing are going to facilities. I mean, you know, right out of North Korea, right out of Nazi Germany. I mean, this is the Heisman Trophy of tyranny. This is the Super Bowl MVP. This isn't just Super Bowl level tyranny. This is MVP tyranny. This is creme de la creme. This is as certified 100%. If the New World Order was a bull rider, they'd be 10-time champion. Of course, nobody's 10-time champion. Not even Bobby Steiner. But the point is, this is 10 times world bull riding champion here. I mean, this is it. People are like, well, what's the big deal? The birds are still going to be tweeting tomorrow. Yeah, they're going to slowly implement it. And then if they're able to get their plan fully in, they're going to unload this stuff. First, they're going to start shutting down the web. They're going to start censoring talk radio. They'll use case point examples to sell it. Let's go to this little clip of Senator Lindsey Graham saying, yeah, it's for U.S. citizens. Here's the clip.
Exactly simple language here. So why don't I play something for you from one of the bill's backers, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. This is what he said on the Senate floor a few weeks ago.
1032, the military custody provision, which has waivers and a lot of flexibility, doesn't apply to American citizens. 1031, the statement of authority to detain, does apply to American citizens, and it designates the world as the battlefield, including the homeland.
The battlefield, says Senator Graham, is right here in your front yard.
Okay, let's stop right there.
And he says American
citizens. And I've got McCain admitting it and others admitting it. It's in the language. It says you're exempt from this unless we say so. And then you've got the previous enemy commissions, military commissions act, all this stuff. It says it's not for citizens, but we strip you of the citizenship extrajudicially. And then it's secret. I mean, they already are killing American citizens abroad. Now they're saying they're going to kill us domestically. Israelis told Reuters 5 years ago. They said, we'll kill U.S. citizens in America. And the U.S. government said, go ahead. I mean, come on, wake up. Don't live in denial. Be right back. Okay, so I just played you Lindsey Graham playing his little lawyer game with you, Mr. Carbon Tax, Mr. Open Borders. I just played you, the clip, and later I'm going to play some of the other clips where McCain and others admit it's for U.S. citizens. But notice, this was always there, but when they wanted to get it passed and they didn't want opposition to mount, they came out last week and said it wasn't in there. Some of the Republican and Democratic leadership, and they had operatives online in a disinformation campaign. Most of them paid bloggers and Pentagon people. And they've got a script, they go follow it, they say this isn't true, just to make the debate about whether it's true or not, so that people don't then have a debate about, do we want to be secretly arrested and disappear forever and be tortured? Now, they're going ahead with torture, and of course they denied torture at first, and then it came out the White House ordered it, so they went ahead and burned some of their own minions in all of this. And now the Senate's considering bill authorizing more torture. And the law enforcement magazines we've shown you actually create situational ethics, and then the TV shows do as well, part of the brainwashing, where you torture people's kids, which did go on at Abu Ghraib. If they can get the security services to torture kids, they got them. And, of course, it turned out they hired a lot of former federal prison guards and others who'd been caught raping people and stuff. And that's who they are. In fact, it's in the news today. TSA whistleblower, feds covered up sexual assault. And it gets into, they're not just raping the public in those back rooms or on the street in their uniform or on the parking lot of the airports. And they flash their badge and just say, I have a, like they've been quoted as saying, I have a administrative privilege. I'm going to rape you. I mean, these people are crazy. They've gone crazy multiple times, beginning stripping down naked, and when one case at LAX screaming, I'm God, I'm God. I mean, that's the type of folks that want to grab grandma's genitals all day. I didn't know they stacked maggots that high, but they do. And a lot of the TSA people apologize when I go through, oh, Alex, we know what's going on. We want to unionize. We know this is a joke. But then they always have that special one they call over when you say opt out or whatever, who enjoys it. But flying out of Austin Bergstrom a month ago, I ran into one that was like, oh, we got a troublemaker, Alex Jones. Some balding, gray-haired guy. And I was like, hey. He was like, he thought he was intimidating. He's like, yeah. I was just laughing. And I was like, you must be the most pathetic creature in the galaxy to want to have this cowardly job where you can exercise petty power all day on real humans. My blood's 10 trillion times redder than yours, Mac, and you know it, and you hate it. You can smell my red blood, you little psychic vampire, can't you? Excuse me. I'm going to settle down. Let me just point out, if you want to support us, but more importantly, get the word out, all 18 of my films that are on DVD are available. 18 DVDs, 18 films for $99.95, all of them. Police State 4, Terror Storm, Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, Order of Death, Endgame, on and on and on and on and on. 18 of them, $19.95. They're normally $19.95 a piece. Imagine that's $360. No, right now they are $99.95, a $260 discount. You get some bumper stickers, Infowars.com, and you get Citizen Rulebook and other evil stuff like that. All available at Infowars.com or by calling 888-253-3139. We got two new films also that are only available at Infowars.com. Scientist Under Attack, Genetic Engineering in the Magnetic Field of Money. Outside the Law, Stories from Guantanamo, very powerful film. Both of these available at Infowars.com. So spread the gift of information. Don't give somebody wild turkey or fruit pie or whatever they are, fruitcake. Give them some real info and support the info war here at the command base. And we've got running for just two more days, 15-day free trial right now at prisonplanet.tv. You can see the InfoWars nightly news.
Big Brother, mainstream media,
government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Eric Mankow Mueller of Mankow.com is with us for the next 20 minutes or so. If you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, I want to draw something here for you. We're going to Mankow here in a moment. Go back to the Federal Reserve takeover of America in 1913. They still had to federalize everything, get us in debt. Tyranny generally grows very, very, very slowly in history. But when it reaches a critical mass, it starts going straight up. And that's basically what's happening. Fresh on the heels of passing in the Senate, indefinite detention, no judge, no jury, by the military, the end of posse comitatus, operating in the streets of America. They've already been gearing up for this for a long time, but this is ahead of the controlled financial collapse. They now are coming out and saying, we'll just torture citizens, anybody we want. We'll rip your teeth out, everything. We're just going to make it legal for the government to torture the living daylights out of you. So see, we're going off the cliff. We've now jumped off. And all the craziness we've seen is just the starting gun. That was that split second of pew. Now the orgy is going to start. And it's a psycho orgy. Mankow, it's good to have you here with us. What do you think of all the craziness that's happening?
Well, I didn't hear everything you just said, but are we talking about orgies?
We're talking about an orgy of corruption, yes.
Alex, what is wrong with you? Everybody I meet from Austin, Texas, all the guys, you know, none of them work. They all have bushy sideburns. They're into ironic music, music that's too hip for human ears. They listen to dog whistles and say it's great. And yet here you are in Austin, Texas. Are you an oddball when you walk around Austin?
No, that's the media creating a false paradigm that it's a bunch of commies running around with limp wrists. That's very small sectors. For at least 20 years, there's no real voting in Austin. Austin's very libertarian, very conservative, but we don't have voting here. I even had the state admit that in a certified deal at the county commissioners years ago.
Well, do you love how this gerrymandering works? So much so that now they've redrawn the lines, and a guy like Barney Frank can't get in. Barney Frank, who's responsible for much of the housing bubble crisis, and his friend Newt Gingrich helped. I mean, no matter how we vote, it seems, left or right, we get more of them. And by them, I'm talking about, you know, our friends in the government. It's crazy. And of course, you were talking earlier about, you know, the endless detentions they want. I wanted to prove that waterboarding was not torture. I did it. The video's all over the internet. Bush and Colin Powell and Nancy Pelosi, everybody, Cheney, everybody talked about it. You know, Hillary Clinton, it doesn't matter, left or right, they all need this not to be torture because they all signed off on it. And, look, there is an Islamic threat. You and I agree on this. But I wonder how much of it they let happen. And it always goes back to the basic thing, Alex. Sorry to ramble on here, but it always goes back to the basic thing, which is, what am I going to say?
Well, you talk about problem, reaction, solution. I mean, now more than ever, they've given al-Qaeda publicly Libya. They're now sending them into Syria. The underwear bomber was put on the plane by the U.S. government. This is all admitted, Mankow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think about all these reports I've seen. NBC, it's just, you and I both have a real hatred for the chinless Chucky Todd. I can't stand that guy. But here you have NBC, owned by General Electric. They pay no taxes. Obama puts the head of GE in charge of jobs, and the first thing he does is ship all the GE jobs to China. They pay no taxes, as I've said, and it's just propaganda for this president. And I love, you know, hey, where did all the rockets go? All the shoulder rockets, where the
service
shoulder
air.
Yeah, where did they go? All these fouls. Oh, now radical Islam has. Where did they? You know, like where did they all go? Look, our government wants the radicals to have these missiles. That's why, and they also want to show every dead kid in America, look what guns do when they purposefully do not enforce the gun laws we already have. Problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem. We react with fear, and their solution is always you and me and everybody listening. We lose our freedom, or we lose a little more do-re-mi for our pockets.
Mankow.com is the website. Big segment straight ahead. We'll get into Newt Gingrich, Ron Paul. We'll get into internet censorship and a lot more.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Miller of ManCow.com joins us. I wanted to get his take on the Republican field, on what's happening in the global economy, on problem, reaction, solution, on the feds now ordering delisting of websites on Google, no judge, no jury. It's getting crazy. The internet kill switch a la carte. But first, ManCow, fast and furious, we learned that the government shipped the guns directly into Mexico and into Indiana, Illinois, Florida to drug gangs they like to knock out other drug gangs. They shipped drugs in. It's been confirmed that they lied to Congress, and now it's just gone off the radar screen. There's a great example of problem, reaction, solution, or a false flag terror attack. If shipping tens of thousands of guns in that killed thousands of Mexicans, hundreds of Americans, and at least three police officers and Border Patrol, if that's not a false flag terror attack, I mean, if they'll do that, yeah, why wouldn't they do Oklahoma City? This same attorney general was the deputy attorney general with his hands deep in Oklahoma City 16, 17 years ago.
Alex, I'm going to go crazy here. I'm gonna go way off course, and I'm gonna bring it home. Okay, but stick with me. I interviewed a doctor today. I spoke with a doctor, and he's going to be on this Weed Wars TV show. It debuts tomorrow night on Discovery. I don't care whether anyone watches it or not. And he did studies on marijuana, and basically, whether you're pro weed or not, why we have this war on, you know, this war on everything. The drug wars cost us a lot of money. I mean, I had a kid, a 17-year-old kid in front of my house. He got pulled over. They found a seed. The government took his car. He said, hey, man, it's a used car. They found a seed, a single marijuana seed, and they sold his car. Our government loves finding some kid with a little bit of weed, half a joint, a roach, something, so they can take your property and sell it and then get the money. Okay, this is all. Okay, so they went and did the study. They wanted to prove, this doctor that I spoke with, wanted to prove the evils of marijuana. He was anti-marijuana, and he couldn't do it. Okay, I'm not pro-weed, I'm not anti-weed. I'm just saying it's a freedom issue. Now, every time they try to do an anti-gun study, if they're intellectually honest, they cannot prove that more guns equals more crime or anything.
Well, that Illinois professor got caught lying to give the only anti-gun study ever, and it turned out it was fake, and he lost his tenure.
The fact is that more guns equal less crime. Did you hear that, folks? That's different than everything you've ever heard. More guns equals less crime. Why? Look, I'm in the city of Chicago. You ought to see these guys. I go to work at 2:30 in the morning. Their asses hanging out the back of their pants. They're looking for victims. If they think you can shoot back, they're not gonna burglarize you, rape you, or kill you. We need guns. Look at the most liberal cities with the most gun laws.
But if you're that old man in Chicago, I see all these videos where they beat up old people, blood everywhere, and the cops do nothing about it.
Well, apparently when white people are beating up in Chicago because they're white, and I think every crime is a hate crime. You know, every crime is a hate crime. But you know, if you're whitey in Chicago, that isn't a hate crime. Anyway, the point I'm making is, Alex, you and I disagree. I believe Fast and Furious was so, look, God, you know, what do we cling to in America? What is Obama? Oh, blah, 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 blah. And Eric Holder, they hate God, guns, and cuts. Right? They hate God, guns, and cuts.
Yes.
That's what America was made of. We're made of God, guns, and cuts. And you people in Texas and the border states, you people cling to your God, your guns, and you got guts, and they hate it. So they wanted to get these guns into the Mexican gangbangers so they would slaughter men, women, and children. They wanted the dead kids to be on TV so that they could pass more laws to take the good people's guns. That's what this was about. Don't you see that, Alex?
No, I don't. I think New York with the highest crime rate next to Chicago with a total gun ban for citizens is reasonable. And I think, you know, it's no mistake that cities run by mafias want the public disarmed. I think North Korea is a great place where they ban guns.
You're being sarcastic.
No, I'm being serious. You're like, don't you get it, Alex? So I thought I'd be sarcastic back. Let's shift gears into Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich supported NAFTA, GATT, the banker bailout, carbon taxes. He wrote creepy forewords to Toffler's book where he calls for global government into the family. You've got Mitt Romney, just as creepy, pro-abortion, anti-gun, Amnesty City, wrote Obamacare, and I forget. I mean, there's so much. And then now these two are dueling with each other. In fact, we got a document cam shot in here. Here's Gallup poll. Gingrich leads Romney at a new low, at a new low in positive survey. And it now shows Gingrich way above Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's down at 9, Gingrich down at 20. I mean, what is wrong with Republicans that are being polled? Or are these polls real? How could they support these guys who basically say, I'm conservative, but I support everything Al Gore does?
And, you know, then you have Huntsman, who worked for Obama. I mean, come on. These guys are plants. Look, Newt Gingrich, I like Newt, okay? Newt's a friend of mine. He's a smart guy. But certainly what you're talking about, I'm not being safe here, but it is very troubling. Mitt Romney, boy, he's all over the place. Look, I've had dinner with Mitt several times. He's a nice enough guy. But, you know, he's the guy that has tassels on his shoes. Any man that's ever worked for a living, any man that has ever worked for a living knows Mitt Romney. Let me tell you who he is, okay? He's the guy that wears the Disney tie and thinks he's wacky. He's the guy that forces everybody to go bowling so that they can bond. He has, you know, tassels on his shoes that makes him wacky. He points his finger at you. He winks at you. He's cool, but really he's just a stroke. He's just another one of those guys. That's Mitt. He wants to be liked. He wants to be cool, and he just isn't. And it seems to me he will say or do anything to get into the White House. It makes me nervous. Now, listen, I've been in top networks. I've been in newspapers, and I've been in the top conservative radio show studios. Alex, I've told you about this, and I'm talking to the most powerful people in media. And it happened to be by chance on several occasions where Ron Paul wins their straw polls. They do a national phone poll. Ron Paul wins, and they immediately throw it out and say, yeah, but Ron Paul voters call a lot. They're kooky. So they always eliminate Ron Paul. I think Ron Paul has a much bigger following. Why do they keep giving us Mitt Romney? The media wants Mitt Romney. That makes me nervous. Because no matter how we vote, we get more Obama, we get more big government, we get McCain, we get Bob Dole, we get more of them in our life, more taxes, more intrusions, and America's sick of it.
I agree with you. Now listen, a lot of people say this can't happen here, but now they're coming out saying let's censor the internet, let's censor people we want, let's censor talk radio, let's have the government order Google to delist sites. Now let's have TSA on the streets, and now they've passed the bill. Now they've got to implement it. And, of course, they'll pick examples of really bad-sounding people, so it sounds reasonable, to secretly arrest citizens. Lindsey Graham has admitted it. I've got clips of McCain admitting it. It's in the bill. They got it passed. Now, Obama says he's going to veto it, but the point is he's already still carrying out things like this. Now, expanding on this, now they're saying they're going to go ahead and start torturing Americans. Regardless, I mean, again, this stuff is so scary. Why do you think all this is moving so quick right now, man, Cal?
Look, fear is the four-letter F word that controls the masses. It's your wife. Your wife. You divorce me, I'll take everything, and you won't see your kids. It's the school teacher. Do as I say, or you won't get a job. It's your parents. Sit down, shut up, or I'm going to spank you. They use fear against us. Look at the movies. Look at the video games. Our society is based on fear. Look at the Islamic boogeyman. Why are we still letting these people into our country? If they're so dangerous, why are we allowing these people into our country? You see them waltz through the line, and yet my wife, Alex, who you know is very hot, they always have to do the two-finger swipe on her. They have to take pictures of our children naked with these machines. I mean, it is such a setup. It is such... Look, we're living in the land of Oz. You and I, Alex, have seen behind the curtain. We know the truth. We are... You know, I used to laugh at you. PrisonPlanet.com. Prison... Oh, my God. You were a prophet.
Well, I was just going to the urban warfare drills and studying government documents, and that's the good news, though, man. Cal, you've talked about this. I've talked about it. Ron Paul's talked about it. I think that's our real ace in the hole, is that we warn people this stuff's now happening, and, I mean, something's got to give. How can MF Global and Corzine, Obama's chief financial advisor, economic advisor, take $3 billion?
So go ahead. They're thieves. Listen, brother, let me me tell you something. Look, I live in Chicago, okay? It is the mob. It is the mob. Forget all the King's Men and all of that. Louisiana, come to Chicago. And you think this guy got through this cesspool, that he walked across the cesspool like Jesus? Obama is dirty. His friends are getting rich. He'll say whatever he has to say. He has turned America into a criminal enterprise. I give you Solyndra. I give you Holder. I give you this guy. I give you that guy. I mean, they're stealing. Hey, and if you support Obama and his agenda, you don't have to pay taxes. You support Obama, your car dealership gets to stay in business.
No, that's the point, is that it's like the bottom finally fell out, and now they're just going for broke in front of everybody. And I'm asking myself, man, Cal, what's next?
Who's reporting it? Chucky Todd, the chinless wonder on that? I mean, what is NBC now? What is their news? It's just, you have to see it, Alex, to believe it. It's such propaganda. I mean, look, the people around Hitler admitted they could have never had, it could have never happened with a newspaper. They had to have radio. They had to be able to get into the minds of the people. Look at how this president is manipulating the lemmings. Look at the economy. How many people do you know that are hurting? Our people are hurting. America is hurting. And watch the news. Everything's great. Another great idea from Chairman Obama. Isn't Michelle Obama beautiful? Michelle Obama's the most beautiful first lady we've ever had. Oh, my God. Look at how she dresses. She shops at J. Crew. Oh, she's wonderful. And look at her. Look at her.
Unbelievable. ManCow.com. He's on in the mornings. Thank you, ManCow. We'll talk to you soon. Let me say bye to you during the break. We got another guest coming. Okay, for the next hour, we're joined by Lennon LaRouche. I appreciate him joining us. I actually double-booked ManCow on. That's why Mr. LaRouche is on 20 minutes later than he would have been. LaRouchePack.com. He's an American-born activist and founder of a network of political committees, parties, and publications known collectively as the LaRouche Movement. And he was a perennial presidential candidate from 76 to 2004, running once for his own U.S. Labor Party and campaigning seven times the Democratic Party. LaRouchePack.com. He's been called a right-winger by the left, a left-winger by the right. His work, of course, has been called by former heads of the National Security Council and others as, quote, the best private intelligence network out there. I don't say I agree with all of their solutions, perhaps because I don't grasp it all, but I know their historical analysis is spot on. This is a short segment. Long segment's coming up. He's going to be breaking it all down. But I've got to say, the things LaRouche talked about over a decade ago are now happening. The global meltdown, the derivatives crisis, what's happening with the euro, the total collapse, the super committee. And now they've passed the bill to allow the secret total arrest of American citizens disappearing for life for no reason into dungeons. They're now trying to pass a bill for total torture. This is mainstream news. And it's one thing to pass, another thing to implement it. It just shows the brazen criminality now of Congress, and that they know everything's going to collapse, and the crooks don't want to get in trouble for their crimes. They want to ride this tiger. The question is, can they? So he's accurately predicted what would happen. What's coming next? Where are we currently? What's up next with Lennon LaRouche? Sir, thank you for joining us today.
Good. How do you do?
I'm okay here in grave times, but where, again, you've accurately predicted, where are we currently? Where are we going?
We're right on the edge of thermonuclear war. As to whether that will happen or not, that's another question. But the likelihood that it could happen is great. What's happened is the U.S. forces in the Eastern Mediterranean and in the Persian Gulf region, especially naval forces in particular, are positioned for a launching a thermonuclear war. The name of the game, of course, is what we're going to do to Syria, or what we're going to do to Iran. But if you look at the forces in the area, that makes no sense. Then you look at other aspects of it, and you know that Russia's in on the thing, defending Syria in particular, against this atrocity. And you realize that we're on the edge of actually going to thermonuclear war. What happened was, of course, and I don't know how well this is known, but our leading general officers, who are advisors and so forth, who advise us on our security, have opposed any action by Obama of this type. That is, so therefore, that is in that degree tied up. But what's hanging out there is at any moment, a war could start. Now, this war will be a war with thermonuclear weapons. That's the fact. The idea that this is only Syria and Iran is nonsense. This thing, what we have positioned in the Gulf area and in the Eastern Mediterranean, what we have positioned is a capability for thermonuclear war and nothing else. Our allies, including the British, do not have the depth of weapon capability for doing something like this. Only the United States and only the thermonuclear warfare capability of the United States could actually conduct such a war. It would be a war against the entirety of Asia and other places. Where it's now being halted. The British are pushing this greatly. And we're on the edge of it.
All right, you have amazing sources. We're going to break in a moment. I want to come back and go over this. But for those that don't know, it's not even getting much attention here. It's all over the foreign press. Russia, Medvedev yesterday told Poland and others, go ahead and move your missiles in. We're going to blow them up. We're going to destroy them. And Russia normally doesn't just make threats. Just like 888 in 2008 when the West attacked South Ossetia and other areas and the Russians rolled in mobile nukes. The Russians have said, we're going to block your supply routes in the Russian air-controlled route into Afghanistan. The Pakistanis are blocking that route. Russian ships have shown up in Syria, and they've moved 2 months ago U.S. troops out of Iraq into Kuwait, and I've talked to people who are involved. They're telling them, get ready for a giant war. So you're right. I mean, obviously, you have a lot of sources, but this is incredible.
Well, this is what we're working against right now. The Russian operation is not actually an aggressive operation. But what happened with the following. Remember the Syria, the war, not Syria, rather, in Libya. Now, that was rushed through. And the intention was, and the signals were definitely from Britain, was to go immediately to the war against both.
All right, sorry to interrupt you. Let's stop right there. You said Syria because that's next on the list, obviously, the same paradigm. But Libya, then Syria. We'll talk about the geopolitical ramifications. Lyndon LaRouche, straight ahead. Key information. Stay with us. Banks collapsing. Rumors of war. It's on. Gentlemen, we told you the euro was going to start breaking up in a controlled implosion into a new mega bank of the world run by Goldman Sachs. Now the news from Time Magazine to Financial Times of London calls it Goldman Sachs conquers the world. And they're praising it. The genius of selling the country's derivatives. The genius of getting their personnel into every power position of regulatory control and executive control and legislative control and the bureaucracy. Europe is waiving all of its rights. The end of self-determination. And I hear CNBC, MSNBC, Bloomberg, their experts are praising. This month's economist is praising the technocracy. The bankers are going to run everything now. They know how to do it. I mean, everything Lyndon LaRouche, Ron Paul, people from all over the political spectrum have pointed out. You notice anybody who's actually right about core issues is like off the reservation. The whole left-right thing is this tiny, sequestered, just totally limited false information. And Lyndon LaRouche joins us. I'm going to try to give you the floor, sir, to go over the whole geopolitical breakdown. You were getting into what's happening in Libya, where all of this is going, and the level of the precipice that we're on right now. I had the former head of Pakistani intelligence, Hamid Ghul, on, and he said, yes, this could lead to a larger nuclear war. The Russians, as you said, are getting in defensive battle formation, saying do not attack Syria. Things are getting wild. Lyndon LaRouche, please continue.
Well, we've got to understand the general situation. First of all, we have a general breakdown of the entire international financial system. It's worse in the transatlantic region. It's less bad in the Asian region. Now, this, we talk about these bankers. They're bankrupt. We're in now in the worst hyperinflation in world history right now. These bankers don't have anything. If you tried to redeem any of the claims they think they have less than nothing. This is empty blank paper passed it for hyperinflation. This is being highly managed politically by doing all kinds of things to Europe and doing things to the United States. But this thing is not going to survive. These banks, every blasted one of them, is doomed. Now, there is a solution for this, and it's the only solution. It's Roosevelt's solution, Franklin Roosevelt's solution, Glass-Steagall. That does not solve the total problem. That eliminates the worst problem right now and makes it possible to undertake management of the problem. We would also have to create, since the Federal Reserve System no longer functions, it's hopelessly bankrupt. It could never be paid up. This thing will never be paid off. It's doomed. So therefore, we're going back to the old class, classify this thing as commercial paper that is not backed by anything. It's speculative paper. And therefore, just put it out on its own and let the people try to collect the money. There's nothing there. We have to save a part of our financial system, our commercial banking system. That's with Glass-Steagall. But that's not enough money to start a recovery. And we need now an actual physical recovery because our people are going to start dying massively. You look at the food supply for the United States going into the months ahead. Think about March and April at the present rate. We're going to have people dying of hunger and effects correlated to that in the United States. So therefore, we need an immediate reform. We understand, I do, and I guess some other people as well do. We go through Glass-Steagall. That could save the United States temporarily. It will also be a vehicle to save Western Europe temporarily. Because if we do this, they'll do it. But the other thing we have to do is we have to go back, since we don't have a Federal Reserve System anymore, it's bankrupt, it's hopelessly bankrupt. We therefore have to go back to Hamilton's original policy, which was U.S. constitutional policy. We go back to a credit system, not to a banking system, not to a money system. Under a credit system, the federal government can authorize a federal debt for specific purposes. Some of these things will be government projects, totally government projects, like the Tennessee Valley Authority was a project. NWAPA is a project of the same nature, but a big, much bigger one. You have transportation systems we need, all kinds of things we need, which the federal government is going to have to finance. And it has to be financed on good management. But then there are other things we can do. We can also get into long-term agreements with nations of the world. And we can create a fixed exchange system among nations which agree to the idea of Glass-Steagall for their case.
So stop the global concerted devaluation. But shifting back, sir, the elites, the finance oligarchs and their tropism that you've talked so much about, they're not going to stop. They are preparing Dodger Stadium right now as a giant FEMA camp. Kevin Booth's getting video of it. They're under Homeland Security. They're arresting the occupiers nationwide as a giant simulation of political arrest. As you know, they passed the bill to secretly arrest U.S. citizens and have you just disappear. No one even knows where you go. Literal, the disappearances like the Khmer Rouge or something. I mean, am I right in saying they're going into hyperwarp and they've made the decision to go ahead and start wars and have a classic police state and they're going forward? I mean, it's just come out that Henry Paulson, we already knew this, gave hedge funds inside information on Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae when he was Treasury Secretary. Well, of course he did. I mean, these are brazen criminals.
Well, you've got, look, it's very simple. We can deal with it. If the American people have the guts to do so, and the temperament and their direction is strong right now, as you probably know, that if you move this president, Obama, out of office on the basis of his charge that he's insane, that's under the 25th Amendment, Section 4, he qualifies for expulsion from the presidency on the basis of that. also at the same time, you've got other things. He's also committed crimes against the Constitution. The Libya war was a crime. It was a violation of the Constitution. He's done many other things. Many of his so-called laws are violations of the Constitution. The attempt to prevent the Congress, the members of the Congress, from appealing a, what was a fraud against the government in this war in Libya is typical. The, what people have to have the guts to do, many people realize that Obama has to be out of office. They, what they're not realizing is he has to be out of office now. And there are two ways to get him out. One is to impeach him. But the other, the more immediate and more effective one, is the fact that he is clinically insane. And the, his insanity is of a very specific type, which is explicitly specified in the 25th Amendment, Section 4. All the evidence is there. Lift him out of the presidency, and I can guarantee you that a lot of things will change very quickly.
Sure, and of course he is spoiled milk. I mean, he politically now has a lower approval rating than Richard Nixon at the bottom, and of course Jimmy Carter. But the Corzines and the Robert Rubens and the people behind him, they don't care. They're going ahead with this homicidal looting of the system. So my question is, I agree with your solutions on that front. You're absolutely right. Great idea, sir. You called for it long before these crises even began. What I'm saying is they don't appear to be stopping. They don't care. It's like Corzine making a 40-to-1 bet on euro bonds and then stealing his account holder's private money. It's admitted to be illegal. The head of the CFTC's invested with him and just says, we're going to allow it. I mean, they're entering a psycho land. Will they be allowed to just steal and destroy everything is my question. I mean, what does MF Global...
You got one vulnerability. It's come to one point. Right now, a few people with the guts in the world can sink the whole thing immediately, and the there are solutions. But the key thing here now, one thing... If you do this one thing, you're going to uncork everything and give a chance to the United States and other nations to survive. That one thing is get this president out of office now. If you don't get him out now, you are probably going to have thermonuclear war from which very few people will survive. And so it's a choice. Have we ever got the guts to throw this bum out of office now when the evidence for it exists? Are we going to be gutless and get into this kind of hell from which the human species itself might not exist? Do we have the guts to save the world? Are we?
Well, how do you get rid of Obama? Because that would cause kind of a breakup of things and allow new ideas to be injected. Because clearly he is narcissistic. Clearly he's constantly partying and in la-la land and playing golf 6 hours a day. I mean, you look at him, he does act like he's completely out of his mind.
And he's a British puppet. He's not an American. That election of his was a big fraud. The complications of how this was pulled. But mainly it was British money and British drug money, which was the big factor in flooding him into the presidency. Actually, on the basis of counting the votes in one way, on the Democratic side, he lost the Democratic nomination in fact, but because of a special feature, the way the thing was run, he was put in as the nominee for the election, a Democratic nominee. He shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Well, how does getting rid of Obama help? I mean, how does that help?
I can guarantee you personally that getting rid of Obama in this way, in this time, and you'll save the United States. If you don't do this, if you don't get Obama out now in this time, when the legal basis for doing so exists very clearly, then you're not going to save the United States.
I know, but explain to me the chain reaction. What is that vacuum if this puppet of the corrupt elements of Wall Street and finance capital, if he was removed for all the Fast and Furious, the illegal wars, you know, the mafia stuff, the list goes on and on.
Look at it. The American people hate this guy now. They hate him. And they hate him for good reasons. Huh? There's nothing protecting him. If you take out of his hands the powers of the president, at that instant, you're going to get a sudden change in the United States because the people in the United States are ready for it. The problem is many of them don't have the guts to do what they should do.
Okay, what do we do to get Obama out of there? Because then we get a Biden. I mean, what's Obama, you know, for corruption charges, whatever, went bye-bye, what happens?
No, you have to remove Obama because he's a dictator. You remove the dictator, and you don't have to worry about these other problems so much. The American people, given the choice now, and the choice is take Obama out of the picture.
So you're saying it's that symbolic symbol of the puppet would-be dictator removed will send shockwaves through the structure. There won't be that executive fear factor. It'll be seen as a blow, a vote against the direction we're going, and will automatically steer energy towards other solutions.
It will also cause elements of the government and key parts of the government to take the action that's needed. And they have, with Obama out, not in the White House, not empowered in the White House, those other elements of our federal government, which I know will act in an appropriate way to end this nonsense. That does not mean we're going to have everything solved automatically, but we're going to have the power of the decision to decide what is done, given back to the American people. And that will happen, the anger in this population, in the U.S. population, against what's being done to them, what has been done to them. They are ready to act. They're not mobilized in their mind as to know how to act. We have to put in their hands the means to act. And once they realize we've given them the means to act and made some suggestions of what the measures are that have to be dealt with in order to bring this about, I can guarantee you, if I weren't as old as I am, I'd be running for president on the basis of filling in the absent term of Obama.
And so you could inject real issues. Now, expanding on this, looking at what's currently happening, I know you have amazing sources in government, the military, you name it. That's been admitted by the Washington Post and others. Again, former head of the National Security Council said you had the best private intelligence network out there. And I'm getting through my feelers, the same things you're getting. And a lot of it, of course, months later manifests in the mainstream news. So there's major credibility here from my position, your position, our research, our history of giving people, you know, factual information. People can debate our analysis of the info, but the info stands on its own. You say you're being told that the military has already said no to launching this new World War III that so many Obama advisors have asked him to launch. So that,
well, the relevant evidence elements into the U.S. command structure. And we're in a situation now where we're dealing with people in other countries as well on this question. We have to get the coordination. We have significant cooperation for doing what is necessary. Number one, no thermonuclear war, which means no repetition of Libya, no war in Syria, no war against Iran. Because all these wars, if they are allowed to occur, will mean thermonuclear war. Once the trigger is set.
Because now you're on China and Russia's border, yes.
No, not just on that. You've got a situation in which the power to declare war, which is now in the hands of the president, and he's not going to listen to anybody else while he's still president.
It's setting a very dangerous precedent, and just like Hitler, we have the examples of other people Napoleon, once they start down this road, we can clearly see where it's going. So let me ask you this question. You say in the command structure, they're saying no. We knew Fox Fallon did that 4 or 5 years ago. We know there's been other examples. You're saying your military sources are telling you there's already been internal rebellions against launching these new attacks.
There's a special group of people who have the authority to put their voice in and to say whether war should be launched or not, as long as the chance is there, as long as we're not attacked. And now the point is, if this president is in charge, he is going to pull the strings under British orders. It's going to be British orders, but it's going to be American muscle. We have the greatest concentration of thermonuclear warfare capability stationed in the Eastern Mediterranean. It's U.S. largely. It has the other jokers in. but and also in the Persian Gulf. We have enough thermonuclear power based there to try to take out Asia.
And that's and you're right. And by the way, it's admitted, especially in the foreign press, the Russians are buzzing around like an anthill that's been disturbed right now on total defense alert. Let's come back and talk about this straight ahead. And Russia's saying, you move the missiles, we know you've moved in, into Poland, we're going to go ahead and attack. So, I mean, it's just total red alert right now, and it's because the banksters are making their move. They're making their move, and they are completely crazy. It's like Max Kaiser says, they're suicide bankers. Lyndon LaRouche is our guest. Amazing information. Straight ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, you can see the power structure moving on every front now to sew things up. Passing secret arrest, indefinite detention for American citizens, internet kill switches, all of it. It is crazy. But throughout all of this, we've backed off this move to attack Iran two or three times. And cooler heads can prevail here, but the financial crisis sits on top of that. Lyndon LaRouche has been gracious enough to stay with us 20 minutes the next hour. Since we got him on late today, we're going to him here in just a moment. Before I go any further, I want to thank our sponsors for making the show possible. PureWaterFreedom.com. We're being forcibly medicated by fluoride in the water supply, all the other toxins and runoff. Pure Water Freedom gives you a choice. You can remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. They also have tabletops. It's all made in America. They've got it all. It's a one-stop shop, purewaterfreedom.com. All their filters are made in the USA. Again, purewaterfreedom.com. Take control of your water supply today. And lastly, our friends over at InnerHealth Botanicals are a fantastic company. If you're tired of feeling sick and tired, you need to give some of their products a try. They have a wide selection of some of the best natural supplements, superfoods, and more that you'll find anywhere out there. Innerfood, the award-winning superfood endorsed by Mike Adams and the Southwest School of Naturopathy, is even vacuum sealed for long-term storage for years. NutriCafe is their immune-boosting coffee. They have cocoa, milk powder, everything, and so many other great products to keep you healthy. Innerfood, E-N-E-R-food.com, 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238. Don't forget, we got two more days left of the free 15-day free trial at PrisonPlanet.tv, and I'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock Central, with the InfoWars Nightly News. And it is your support of our sponsors and everything that you do that makes this transmission possible. Lyndon LaRouche is our guest. You were getting back to nuclear war. What does it mean to have the Russians on alert, sending their ships into the Mediterranean? And as you said, they've moved all these U.S. cruisers and subs in with nukes. Like you're saying, the military buildup is not for a conventional war. Please continue.
It's not a conventional war. There is no conventional war. A conventional war is not possible. Actually, since the time when I was launching what became known as the SDI, and the SDI principle, even though the circumstances are modified today by time, nonetheless, the same principle is crucial. There can be no major war on this planet that is involving major powers, which does not lead to thermonuclear war. In other words, with Libya, you came up to the edge of it. But it was already the potential back in the 1970s when I first got on doing this thing on the SDI program. Because it was impossible to fight major war with major powers involved that would not lead to thermonuclear war. And that's been the state of affairs since the 1970s.
Well, Cheney tried to do it through NATO with the Russians in 2008. The Russians just rolled mobile nukes in and said, and the head of their joint chiefs went on TV and said, we're preparing to launch nukes on your forces. And NATO turned back. I mean, what's wrong with NATO?
What's wrong with everybody? But the point is, the cowardice, and I mean, Reagan twice put up the SDI as a solution. The British stopped it. The United States was considering it. But the British intervened and said, as your big ally, we say no. And that's why Reagan was turned down. Then you've got a couple of British agents, Andropov and Gorbachev, who became were the key figures in Russia and the Soviet Union then, and they were the responsible. Gorbachev is still around. He's still a damn nuisance in the world, and a pesky one. He's a British agent. He always was.
Incredible. Lynn LaRouche, you're with us for 20 more minutes. We got a quick break. The breaks are at the end of the hour and the start. We're going to come back in 1 minute. Explain to us, because I looked it up. You really were instrumental in developing the SDI program. I want to get your view on what your program of SDI would have done to understand this total war concept we're now under.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I want people to understand that, and I genuinely believe what I'm talking about here. And we've predicted and told you everything that's coming. And no amount of trillions of dollars pumped into Europe will stop the derivatives black hole. The banksters know that, and they think they can pose and use the controlled media to come out on top and be our saviors in the crisis they created. And in all these public papers they put out, they say, Obama needs a new Oklahoma City to blame on people. Financial Times of London. They act like we're not even here. Mr. LaRouche, you've studied these people a long time. Is it megalomania, hubris, or do they really think they're going to win? Why are they so naked in what they do? Get into SDI, where we're going, all of this.
Well, look at the history of the United States. It actually started in 1620, when some people from England and from partly the Netherlands as well came over to Massachusetts and set into motion what was initially the Pilgrim Landing, but then was the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Now, the Massachusetts Bay Colony was crushed by the British at a certain point. But we didn't stop there. We continued to develop the United States. We imported people from Europe and so forth into what became the United States. And we continued from 1620 on through the securing of our freedom, our constitutional freedom. We continued as an alternative to Britain, to the British Empire, which had become an empire in that period. So we were the English speaking. We drew people from all over Europe at first. And then later we drew from Asia as well in the later part of the period, going into the 20th century. We created in the United States the greatest movement for freedom that mankind has ever known for the greatest duration against what was still going on in Europe. It wasn't that the Europeans lacked a culture, European culture, but they lacked an effective culture because their system of government was dominated by the British Empire ever since 1763. The British Empire has dominated Europe with a few brief exceptions through the entire period. They control Africa totally. They controlled and committed mass genocide in India to consolidate their power there. They ran the drug war against China. They organized World War I. But they started already with the assassination of the president of France at that time. So this operation, this empire, this imperial system, which controls Africa as a slave state entirely still today, which controls Europe. For example, today in Europe, in most of Western and Central Europe, no sovereign nation state exists in Western Europe. They all lost their authority to the Euro system, which has no government. The government is the British government, which runs the Euro system.
And then acts like it's being abused by the Euro, but if you look, helped set up the Treaty of Rome in 57 on record.
They run everything. And the point is, it's still us, we because we do represent, and from generation to generation, we die, in time. Everyone dies. But we aren't dead. Because we are committed to a principle which lives on after we die. And those of us in the United States who still believe and stand by that principle which we embedded and expressed in our Constitution still exists. The problem is other people become confused or they're doubtful of their powers. They're doubtful of their ability to intervene. When we make a decision, like as I propose we must make in the United States now. Throw this bum out. I guarantee you, you will get a surge of response from our American people in a very large number who will look at this as a sign of relief.
Exactly. It would be seen as a major signal, you know, kind of like the cavalry coming. Stay right there. Lyndon LaRouche, final segment with him. Get into other economic topics with him and talk about these gathering mega storm clouds and a lot more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we got one final segment, Lyndon LaRouche, and I'm going to take some phone calls and get into some other news we haven't covered. Website's LaRouchePack.com. They also have what, LaRouche Pub. They have their publications. You know, I really wish this stuff wasn't true or real. I mean, I can't think about anything but the financial situation, the dollar devaluation, the depression, all the numbers coming out, a design depression, a bunch of control freaks waging war against our society, command destruction. It's incredible. And Lyndon LaRouche was talking about the American system versus this imperial crony centralized neo-feudal system and the whole eugenics situation, this anti-human movement. And there's no doubt they're barreling towards mega banks owning Europe and all their sovereignty transferred to it. And they call it a United States of Europe as a sick joke, as if a financial tyranny is the United States model. You know, it's like calling the Patriot Act patriotic. Lyndon LaRouche, I wanted to ask you about the bill that was passed last night that says the government, the military, can operate in America and arrest citizens and hold them without trial for no reason. And I played clips earlier of Lindsey Graham, the sponsor of it, admitting that. And then Obama plays this cheeky game of saying, well, I'm not going to sign it. That's because last year he said, I can hold citizens and use the army. I don't need a law. He's saying, I have the executive. So a lot of just amazing things happening. Now they've got a new bill to allow torture. That article's up at Infowars.com. Headline, Senate considers bill authorizing more torture. And the news is just running around acting like it's a great thing. This is so incredible. What if they have their way? You've talked about solutions and different systems. If they continue, if this group continues, and their drive for absolute domination over everything, you know, there's no room for the nouveau riche, no room for intellectuals, no room for any science. They want a post-industrial world, a neo-feudal model, as you've said, the British eugenics model. What is going to happen to our country? What are we going to see in the short and then mid and then long term?
If we don't act now, we're going to find we're in a thermonuclear war. It's going to happen. If we don't act now to get this president out of office. If you don't pull this president out of office, you're going to have a thermonuclear war. Now, if we don't have him out of office, don't worry about anything. You're all going to be dead anyway. The British policy, and they said it, the British royal family, the extended family, the whole blue-blooded crowd, have said repeatedly they are now committed to the immediate objective of reducing the world's population from 7 billion people to 1 or less. That is the policy of the British monarchy. The British monarchy controls all of Europe from the Atlantic into Central Europe directly. They control the Euro system, control totally. They control the forces that are being, including our stupid forces themselves, who are working under Obama's direction, under British direction, for a war in the Middle East. And it will be a thermonuclear war, because it will not be limited to Iran. It will not be limited to Syria. It will go to the entirety of Asia. That's what's at stake. Look at the amount of force. Look at the thermonuclear and related capability of the U.S. and augmented forces from Europe and so forth, which are deployed in the Gulf of Iran, and in the eastern part of the Mediterranean. That force is there to fight a war. That war is not limited to Syria and to Iran. That is war, once it starts, as the Russian deployment shows you, that war, when it starts, will be a thermonuclear war, as the president of Russia, in certain terms, have warned the world in the past 2 days. So the stage is set. The question is, who's going to come on stage? Is the American freedom going to come on stage and throw Obama out? Because if he don't throw Obama out, now when we have the charges for doing so, then we are condemned to this war. So we find the guts to win, or we lose. And, you know, it's not a question of what people think. You know, a decision, when you have to make a command decision as a leader of a nation, or like the American Republic, there are times that comes that you have to make a decision on behalf of the people. Do you want what is happening to our people now? Do you think the majority of the people in this country wants what's happening to them now? Of course they don't. But they don't think they have the authority or the backing for someone to clean the mess up. And we have, in our terms of responsible people, in the Senate, in the Houses of Congress, in parties in part, they all, in a sense, more or less will agree on some things. But they hesitate to take on throwing out a president who should be thrown out. If somebody has the guts and the qualifications to throw the bum out of office, I guarantee you, you will have a complete change in the policy of the American people in practice. And we can win this thing. But we don't have much time.
I agree with you. We don't have much time. And everyone I talk to, not just geopolitically, not just intellectually, in everybody's gut, people are really concerned. And, you know, I go back to MF Global. I mean, they've never taken $3 billion of people's private accounts and just said, we're not even going to investigate. We're keeping the money. And now they're doing that. I mean, it's there may have been a method to the madness before, but when you talk about an inbred power structure, who a lot of them are just educated idiots, the sky's the limit. I mean, this is like Caligula or Nero. Understanding history, Lennon LaRouche, and knowing what the breaks are right now, what do you see happening? I mean, you said with your intelligence and Pentagon connections, high-level groups are telling them no, no, no. But is that enough to stop them? Is that a good sign? What are folks there in Virginia and D.C. At the highest levels you talk to? What are they telling you? What are the Europeans you talk to telling you? How does Israel fit into all this?
Oh, Israel's a puppet. That's not really an issue. The issue here is this: what's the United States going to do? And what are other countries going to do? I can guarantee you, if we throw Obama out of office, we're going to have cooperation, full cooperation, from Russia, from China, probably from India, and from other countries. We're going to find that the world is going to have a kind of unity at the moment before Franklin Roosevelt died, when we virtually had won World War II. People are now at a point of anxiety that if somebody puts the solution before a hungry man on a plate, and the man, hungry man, is seeing his children starving, and somebody's going to come with a solution, they're not going to have to be very fussy about finding out why they're doing what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They're trying to get their country back. And we have most of the people in the United States want their country back. If a few of us, in responsible positions of leadership, act within the provinces of our Constitution to take an action to throw this president out of office, even if the initiative is made by a relatively few people, if it's made, and made under the proper law, you'll find a rejoicing in the streets throughout much of the United States. And you'll be hiding Obama someplace where nobody can get at him, because you're not going to have him killed.
Go ahead.
That'll change everything. But the problem times it takes, leadership does mean something. There's bad leadership, but there are times when the world cries for someone to act on behalf of justice.
And you're just pointing out that even though it's symbolic and he's a puppet of very wicked people, the fact that their puppet falls and they don't go through the regular cycle of a new Republican puppet, that would be seen as a major point to crystallize some real ideas of sanity being brought in. But what about the same forces trying to bring in just another new puppet? I mean, look at Newt Gingrich. Look at all these people.
I know, but let's take a look at D-Day. Look at the streets in New York City on D-Day. When we'd won the war. And if unfortunately we got Truman in instead of Roosevelt later. If Roosevelt had continued as president, we'd never have any of these problems. Sometimes our chief executive, or the circles which are our chief executive collectively, of our Constitution, When the people in our country do know something about our Constitution, they have some sense of it. But they may not know all the details, but they do know right from wrong in that sense. What's needed now is leadership in the United States, which will remove this president from office immediately. That will put into play immediately in the Congress, especially in the Senate, and some of the key people in the House of Representatives, will put them into motion immediately to change a great number of things suddenly. That doesn't mean everything is going to be solved, but it means we're going in a completely different direction, and we're going away from thermonuclear war. And that is what we have to do now. There are no preconditions required for doing that.
Lynn LaRouche, give us some of the websites. There's LaRouchePack.com. There's also LaRouche Pub, correct?
Yeah, LaRouche Pub is a publication of our
organization. I mean, I know you've got a lot of websites. I wanted to, we're out of time, and I don't want to twist your arm into any more time, but if we can, I want to go to break and do just five more minutes on the other side, because I want to ask you from your deep, deep study, and I read, the intelligence briefing and the rest of it, just invaluable information. But I want to understand the deep mindset of the oligarchy and what they think they're going to get out of this. Because obviously, it's leading them like Hitler into Russia or others on ill-fated journeys. And they're not going to make it out of this. They may succeed in wrecking everything, but there's got to be a point when this ends. Lynn LaRouche, just give us five more minutes on the other side, and then we'll get into financial news and phone calls and a lot more. We'll be right back. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen.
What it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated.
All right, my friends, it's our final segment with Lynn LaRouche. He's been very gracious to spend this much time with us. Very busy man. LaRouchePack.com. And his analysis is spot on. You cannot deny we're at this point. Because the world is imploding, these globalists always start wars. And it is the British Empire model we face. So in closing, so that we know the enemy, not the English or British people or the UK, but that parasitic system there, that through all of Europe's wars, developed the most cunning, manipulative system ever seen. Who are they? What are they? What do they stand for? How do they see a way out in this?
Well, we don't know some of the history, but we do know that way back in the Mediterranean vicinity, there was a development of what were called oligarchical systems, in which a few people, a small part of the population, were called gods. They were treated as gods. And the ordinary people were treated as cattle. Now, that system of gods and cattle has continued in European civilization in particular, from that time to the present day in Great Britain. The British Empire is nothing but a revival of, again, for the fourth time, of a Roman Empire, which was started in Rome, which has featured such creatures as the Emperor Nero, and our current President of the United States has a personality identical psychologically or pathologically to the Emperor Nero. But that we in the United States succeeded in establishing a system which was anti-oligarchical, in which the right of the individual citizen, as a citizen, was that of a human being, which had a right not only to live, but right to pass on the meaning of their life to coming generations. And this was our special achievement in the United States by the people who left England, left Belt, and so forth, left Europe, and came to this territory to build up this United States. Now, we were weak relative to the British Empire, because the British Empire does control the world. There is all of Africa is controlled by the British Empire. There's no exception to that. Most of the world is controlled by the British Empire. There's no exception to that. You have people within the system who are part of the imperial territory, who will resist inside the territory, but they won't break it. We in the United States, with all our failures, our failed presidents, our goofing up the issue and so forth, we have remained in the tradition of what the American system is, which was actually founded in Europe by other people, but was achieved in what became the United States. And therefore, we have a special responsibility, and we are also respected. For example, in Asia, we tend to get respect because we're opponents of this kind of oligarchical system.
We've always been the great engine of at least the lofty ideals. Didn't mean we ever properly lived up to it. And to see America now used as an engine of corruption, and to see other countries use us as an excuse to engage in tyranny, that's got to please the finance oligarchs.
Yeah, but the point is, what does it hurt? It hurts every parent who has children. Because the secret of the United States does not lie in those of us who are living or who have lived. The secret of our United States lies in the heritage,
yes,
of creativity and related benefits, which we pass on to future. We may die, but we live in what we contribute to the future. That's the difference of our system and the typical British or oligarchical system.
That's right. Their birthright is only to the oligarchy. This is a birthright of free humanity, goodwill, peace, true liberty, true human revolution against tyranny. And as the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, it all talks about the posterity, the living thing, and it is a living thing.
Yeah, we're living in a galaxy, not just a solar system. We're living inside a galaxy. This galaxy, for some of us who study these things, has a history. It has a history in terms of the forms of life over the last half billion years, which we know something about. And in this, we find the emergence of species from single-celled species on the way up. We finally get into the antecedents of mankind, with the passage of the dinosaurs and people like that, and things like that. And we have become a conscious factor. Animals don't have a conscious factor in shaping what the destiny of this animal species will be. Human beings do. And what is immortal in us is our power of the imagination, the creative imagination, to develop the ideas of what mankind shall be and how it shall function.
True self-determination, truly taking control of our development. We'll have to have you back on this subject alone. Lyndon LaRouche, incredible information. Thank you for your time. We'll be back. Stay with us. Yeah, if you think you've seen the end of the tyranny or even the beginning, you ain't seen nothing yet. And you haven't seen what free humanity is going to do in response to tyranny. It isn't until the tyranny gets really naked that people start to fight back. And now it's getting to that point. The globalists have been experts at plenty of entertainment, plenty of dumbing down, ridiculing people that are awake and aware. But now it's not working anymore. So because they know that we're awake to them and Congress has a 9% approval rating, Obama has an approval rating lower than Nixon or Jimmy Carter. That's in the news today. Because they know that we're awake now, they just don't care. They're like, all right, we'll just arrest you and hold you forever. All right, we'll torture you. All right, we're going to go ahead and start taking your bank accounts and keeping them. I mean, I feel like somebody who's at the edge of a cliff right now. You ever jumped off 200, 300, 400 foot cliff into a lake? I've done it quite a few times back when I was younger and dumber. Now to jump off a high dive is kind of scary, but It's that same feeling. I mean, we're right there. And I'm sitting here. I read the globalist documents. I've been right about what I warned about. But it takes a while for this stuff to develop. And now we're here. And when we knew 4 years ago that the Pentagon refused to attack Iran, people said, oh, you're wrong. They weren't going to attack. See, and later it came out we were right. Well, they're getting ready again. And it's the ramifications of all of this and where it goes and Europe collapsing and all of this. It's so incredible. I want to take five or six calls before the transmission ends today. The toll-free number to join us. I want to get your take on what you've heard today or whatever issue you're raising. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. We had General Hamid Ghul on, former head of Pakistani intelligence. On that situation, Lyndon LaRouche, of course, and Eric Mankell Mueller. We probably want to add him to the guest stuff. I know he was somebody I added on. And we're going to have Ted Anderson pop in for 5 minutes right now with his take on all this and a pitch for gold. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and buy some gold and silver today. I'm not waiting anymore. It's just everything is, I mean, I don't even know if I can, I just wish this wasn't happening. Believe me, I know why people bend over backwards to live in denial. But I remember Henry Paulson, clearly an insider trading. Congress admits they involve in insider trading, totally illegal. It's more than insider trading. They give government contracts and pass legislation for money to companies their own family members are executives of. And they say, well, when we do it, it's okay. We've given ourselves an exemption. And remember Henry Paulson when he was being questioned by Congressman Stern from Florida. It's an Obama deception. He said, who gave you the waiver to give yourself $200-something million of bailout money to your own, to yourself? And he goes, well, I have a trustee. I mean, I had a waiver. Well, who gave you that waiver? The Department of Treasury. Well, who's over the Department of Treasury? Well, and he started stuttering. And he said, I am. He could barely talk. He said, I am. I mean, the head of the CFTC on record is invested with Corzine and MF Global. And it turns out all these insiders got warnings. And, of course, nothing's going to happen to MF Global. I mean, that's the thing. They've reached a level of public crime that is just staggering. It's like ESPN with the wife of the coach saying, yeah, I watched him rape little boys. They had it for 10 years and covered it up. I mean, what have we turned into? We're just accustomed to giving in to evil. We're accustomed to accepting it. And then we're accustomed to all the new fines and fees and regulations being treated like absolute garbage. We've got to start acting like sovereigns. We've got to start acting like the bosses. It's we the people. This is our government, our country. And because we had some liberty, it created incredible wealth. And now all the crooks of the world ran in here, slowly took over, getting little pieces here, little pieces there, always making money, getting power out of it. And then now they've just gotten into total control. And they're like, we'll torture you. We'll secret arrest you. We'll kill you if we want. They've already been doing all of that, but now they want to be able to go into their people and say, here, you're allowed to do this. Now, a warning to their people, when the White House ordered people to torture, including children, when they got caught, they went ahead and sent the people that followed the orders to prison. And then Bush came out in his memoir last year and said, I ordered torture, I'd do it again. Keeping you safe. I mean, they know. They're selling the idea that if you give tyrants total control, they'll protect you. Really? Government is like an employee that literally has got you licking their boots. I mean, that's what's happened. Okay, coming up after some calls, foreclosure fraud whistleblower found dead, MSNBC. Another one, Henry Paulson, or Hank Paulson, gave hedge funds inside information on Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae when he was Treasury Secretary. And it goes on to say, well, I'll cover that in a moment after some calls, but I briefly wanted to bring Ted Anderson up. Ted, can you feel the urgency? People know I've never really gotten like talk like this on air. I mean, I can feel it palpably right now. Palpably. The urgency. Ted, what do you think about all this stuff that's happening in the world right now?
I mean, everything's melting apart, Alex. I mean, right now, I mean, just yesterday, the Fed, along with, well, here it is, right here, the Federal Reserve, Bank of Japan, the European Central Bank, the Swiss National Bank, the Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, have all joined together to do this bailout thing that's going to be going on in Europe. Just the day before, the president is out there saying that the United States dollars are not going to be committed to fixing this problem, and here we have the problem being bailed out. This is like what happened in TARP, but it's on steroids. I mean, right now, back when TARP was being doled out, it was said to be $700 billion, but it turned out to be $7.77 trillion by the Fed underneath and under disguise without any, disclosure. These banks that were taking the money were in trouble, yet they were reporting that they're in great shape to their shareholders. So, you know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to stop a run on the banks, and this does. It totally sells our country and our sovereignty out. We are losing our liberty, and we are turning it over. We are taking money directly out of the accounts of people's savings and so on and so forth through inflation and driving the value of the dollar down. And you're talking about World War III here. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And you know, so why would anybody want to stay in a paper currency when they know the Fed is out there pumping new money into the system so they can lower interest rates and make it easier for these banks in Europe to trade? It's just absolutely a bailout like we had in Wall Street here not too long ago. They're helping their buddies, but at the cost of the U.S. taxpayer, and it's devastating. And it's not only devastating here; it's devastating across the entire world. Mikhail Porkarov, a billionaire over in the Soviet Union, was saying that it's safer to buy gold bars than it is to buy U.S. treasuries. I mean, it's gotten down to that. People always went to U.S. treasuries for safety, always, in investments. If you're ever concerned about the economy, the United States Treasury was the place to go. Now we're sitting here, and the billionaires across the world are saying, nope, we're going to gold. Gold bars and gold coins make a lot more sense than any other investment entirely in the world. So, yeah, is it time to take advantage of it? Is it time to move? Absolutely. You can see it. The handwriting's on the wall.
Ted, I want to invite you on the nightly news tonight. We've got Stuart Rhodes joining us, but I want to get you on, too, just to go over the history of inflation and to give some examples, but also you can dig up the articles and show people, you know, how big these bailouts are. But, yeah, Obama yesterday was giving speeches saying there'll be no Federal Reserve U.S. dollars given to this, and here's Bloomberg today, it was already happening. I mean, it's just they take advantage of people's ignorance. And people say, well, so what do they bail them out? It devalues the dollar, and they're devaluing all the currencies. They have accelerated it, and most economists I talk to, they say within 6 months, you're going to really see it. Then you talk to Salente, and he's saying, look, they're going to start grabbing more bank accounts, more stuff, MF Global. I mean, Ted, the MF Global thing is what's shaking me up, because I went back and studied some of the cases, and I had remembered what had happened, but I wanted to make sure I was right. And I went back and looked at it. They've never had a Chicago mercantile big looting with a company bankruptcy with subsidiaries that took sequestered private accounts, segregated accounts. They've never had anything like this. Even when whole companies go under, they've paid people back. Now they're just saying we're not doing it. You know, maybe a few people or something, but it's just so creepy to know that Corzine, the main advisor, is making 40-1 bets. That's proof. These are madmen. It's so crazy. Bob Chapman thinks it may be some setup where he made the bad bet and they got the money on the other side betting against, but we've looked at it and can't find those numbers. I mean, these are lunatics, Ted, and they've got a bought Senate with a bunch of political whores, most of them who have been, you know, caught sleeping with the pages, so they're all blackmailed, who are up there saying, yeah, we're going to arrest whoever we want and torture you. I mean, it's just to be totally confirmed that we've been absolutely right and then some, Ted, it's disgusting. I feel like throwing up. I'm not happy that I'm right. I mean, I can't enjoy anything now. You know, I can't even go to movies now, Ted. I can't do anything now. All I think about is this, Ted, and I can't even get people I know to realize how real this is.
Well, they're going to be realizing how real it is when they're standing there in a bread line. I mean, right now, we're covering the bad bets of the New York banks and the big banks in Europe for lending all this money to these countries that shouldn't have had it in the first place. And guess who's getting bailed out? It's them. They're getting the money from us. They're taking it directly from us through inflation. They're printing money.
But if that isn't enough, they then grandstand and lecture us when 90%+ of the debt is theirs.
And that's exactly right, Alex. And they had a vote at the Fed. I mean, that's why Ron Paul wanted to have transparency of the Fed with their audits. We wouldn't even known about this.
Ted, what about these Republican mainline idiots that want Mitt Romney and Gingrich? I mean, they're as pathetic as Obama supporters. These are idiots.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. The people of the United States are asleep. They have no idea what's happening to them. And if they were smart, you would see Ron Paul showing up a lot higher than 10-12%. He'd be getting 25-30-40% of the on these polls. Now maybe they're loaded, and maybe they're not completely true. We'll see what happens in Iowa. But I can tell you right now, if the people had half the information or half the knowledge that it took to understand what was going on. And it's not even that. It doesn't even take a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out.
Oh, Jeff, this is all red level. I mean, this. Everything keeps happening according to the globalist plan. It keeps getting. This is what it is. We know we're about to enter the phase where all this horrible stuff's going to look like good times. I mean, we're about to really get into the bad area. It's like you go into the doctor and they say, your heart is completely clogged up. You could have a heart attack anytime. And you're like, oh, I'm fine. And a month later, you're walking up the stairs and the heart attack starts, you know. I mean, it's there and it's sad. All right, I'm going to stop ranting. I want to go to phone calls. Ted, give people the gold specials of the day. Again, you buy it when it's low, when it's high, as it is, gold and silver. You sell it at the old low price. The radio specials are incredible loss leaders. Briefly, give people the gold and silver specials. I hope they take advantage of it, because I know you're a busy man to get a hold of, Ted, but I need to get a hold of you because it's time for me to get some gold and silver. I've got to do it. I can't even leave emergency money in the account to run this place. It can't even be trusted now. Ted?
Well, first of all, gold did run up to $1,752.10. Right now, it's currently at $30.30. So it knows, the market knows, that the dollar is going to take a hit. It's reflecting that. Silver at $33.05 today, up 92 cents. The things to be getting into right now are like the Walking Liberty Half at $16.01, the Frank Coin at $3.81, and get the full-year subscription to Bob's newsletter, The International Forecaster. And for God's sake, understand economics. Get that book. And that video, and those two silver dollars for $73.
Yeah, Ted, it's three silver dollars, the book and the video, and you're almost out of the Big Brother book, and we're going to ship to some other special. So if folks want the three silver dollars and the free book, video, and shipping, they need to call right now, 800-686-2237. You can get the Frank at cost and then get a free subscription, $159 value, the International Forecaster as well, 800-686-2237. 2-3-7. Tell folks about some of the other coin specials you've got, Ted.
Well, I mean, obviously, one of the better coins to be getting into is the U.S. Eagle. It's at $1,908.29. I have a few of those proof campaign for liberty still. Want to help Ron Paul a little bit, $523.73. Makes an awful lot of sense. For those of you who don't have a whole lot of money, consider the copper coins I have up on the website now at $293 for a bag of 250. The Lakota Silver's at $41.27. I think the bags of survival dimes at $2,495. That's 1,000 dimes. You realize it takes 24 dimes to buy one of the old. That's the equation right now. If you want to transfer one to the other, that's going to widen. It's just simply this: gold and silver is a reflection of what really is happening on in the economy. And as the Fed steps in and turns on their printing press to do all this bailout, you're going to see gold and silver rise, and it's just the way
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. Ted, 800-686-2237. And we've got Stuart Rhodes on tonight about the indefinite detention, torture, and the rest of it on the Nightly News. But I want to get you on, so I'll talk to you after the show, okay?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, thank you. There goes Ted Anderson, InfoWars Nightly News, 7 o'clock Central tonight. I want to go to your calls. So I'll have to do a bit of overdrive. I'm going to come back and go to your calls here in the next segment. I see these articles all the time where another foreclosure fraud whistleblower found dead, MSNBC. And it says a notary public who signed tens of thousands of false documents in a massive foreclosure scam before blowing the whistle on the scandal has been found dead in her Las Vegas home. She was scheduled to be sentenced Monday morning, and she pled guilty last month, notarizing the signature of an individual not in her presence. She failed to show up for a hearing, but police found her dead at the home later. And they can't, of course, determine what happened. But they've killed so many Pentagon investigators. Look, the green light's been given for criminals to run wild in America, as long as it's under mafia dons, government and corporate mafia dons. And it's just open season with the gullible public. I feel so sorry for them. They've been taught for 60 years in this country, any criticism of government, not loving and trusting government, is a conspiracy theory. Of course, it's pure Americana, pure George Washington, to not trust government, to keep government small. Now, they're starting to wake up, but they're still very childlike. I mean, I hear people on talk radio. I talk to them in the streets, and they are so childlike. They're friendly, they're sweet, they're goofy. They have no idea. This country used to be hardcore, you know, rugged individualist on average. People didn't care about what happened. If you messed with them, they'd come after you. I mean, I've read the old letters and family Bibles and stuff of my ancestors on both sides. I mean, and they were just standard people. And they weren't going around looking for trouble either. They were church attending, hardworking people. But you mess with them, they'd kill you so fast it'd make your head spin. You cheated them out of a nickel, you're going to get your head beat in. And we now are just a country that just takes everything. People always make fun of folks in the South and the West for being so polite. People are polite because if you weren't polite, you'd end up dead. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
I recognize a name, Law from Colorado, and I met him. He's a big old giant guy who I got Luke Radowski got up on his shoulders when the MSNBC cut my bullhorn cord when I was out in public. So you can see that is what the extra in the Obama deception. It's also online. Just type in MSNBC attacks Alex Jones, and I heard he's got some breaking news because. They actually separately emailed Du, and Du just came in here and told me, hey, they say they're on hold, and they've got some breaking news. I guess it's of a Syracuse type or a Satanic Valley type with Penn State. Law, good to hear from you. What's the information?
How you doing, Alex? So great to hear you. This is some pretty amazing information. I don't know if you've heard about the Arapahoe County Sheriff, Pat Sullivan, was arrested yesterday involved in this methamphetamine and child sex ring. John Elinoff, who I know you know, actually is the guy who broke this thing. He's been spending several weeks working on this. He's been, like, hiding for his life and stuff because this is really serious.
I know Elinoff well. I've hung out with him and others, and, of course, you there in Colorado a few times. Great activist there, and we were there covering the DNC in 08. We were there. This is in the news, another nest of these people?
Yeah, this is really kind of amazing stuff. There have been several arrests. The news is not really coming clear on who it is, but
They generally arrest to cover up the full network. Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I can definitely tell you this is a large ring. It definitely involves more than just this sheriff's department. There are several police departments, sheriff departments. I could probably go as far as to say, Alex, this may involve the CIA, the FBI, the military. It's kind of conspiracy of silence stuff all over again.
Well, DynCorp is the biggest CPS contractor grabbing kids nationwide, and they run public slave rings worldwide. I mean, it's just unbelievable how evil these people are. So I type in Arapahoe County, Colorado.
Yeah, you probably could. The guy's name was Pat Sullivan, and he's like a really honored sheriff. This guy has this like stellar record, and this guy is definitely involved in this major stuff.
Okay, yeah, I've just been given a news article. There's so many pedophile rings, how do you keep track of it? Now I know you say you guys were involved investigating this. A lot of times they also sting good people and set them up for this, but I'm not saying that's not the... I mean, you guys are ones on the ground. Former Arapahoe sheriff arrested on meth dealing charge, and are you saying it's in the news here about the kids?
You know, they're not talking about, like, underage kids. They're kind of playing it off as, like, he was trading methamphetamines for sex. But
It says, former Arapahoe County Sheriff Patrick Sullivan was arrested on suspicion of trying to trade drugs to a man for sex as investigators monitored the deal. Yeah, and that's how they'll do it. We've seen that with the Boys Town and all that. They'll bust one person to cover it up and then kind of minimize what's going on. But you're saying Elinoff was the one who actually got this going?
Elinoff was the guy behind the whole deal. He spent several weeks working on this. He was lucky enough to have started working for Tom Martino at a KHOW radio. And Tom Martino had the guts to actually help him out and get this thing on the radio. They did an interview today. The information is really
amazing. Yeah, no, I've been in Tom's studio, but I need to get Martino on then about this if Elinoff's in hiding. Says this shows that no one is above the law, but you're saying Elinoff is saying from his research it's much bigger.
Much bigger. The things we know, I mean, there's no doubt about it. How big it is, we're not necessarily sure, but, you know, this kind of goes back to something you had said a few episodes ago.
Hey, we're going into overdrive. Stay there for the main radio audience. See you tomorrow.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Okay, look, I want to get to all the other callers.
From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas.
That's right.
Transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, finishing up with law in Colorado. You were saying something as we went to break. Law, go ahead.
Yeah, this reminds me of something you had mentioned, I don't know, a few weeks past about how these NWO guys will, you know, sacrifice some of their own people in order to make the rest of their people kind of toe the line because something big may be coming down. And I really suspect that may be what's going on.
They will bust a bunch of these rings and people to scare the rest of them and say, see what we can do? I mean, that's who the globalists want. They want someone who can be compromised. They want you to become corrupt. It's like Serpico. They kept trying to get him to take jewelry and stuff. Come on, just make us feel good. Be part of it with us.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, this may be a big thing. I'm not sure how far it goes. You may want to try and get John on your show. I mean, he's just up to his eyeballs in this stuff. And like I say, he's been hiding out for his life. He's been threatened with guns. He's had all kinds of stuff. And, I mean, this guy's a trooper. He kept on sticking with it. And, really, this is really amazing stuff. Really.
Well, it's saying informants were involved and stuff because the deputies were in a police call and then they saw the sheriff there and thought it was weird and that started the investigation. You're saying that's not what happened, that Elinoff was involved?
Yeah, definitely. Elinoff really brought this whole thing forward. I mean, he's the main guy that really made this stuff happen. So, I mean, that guy is a truther through and through, man.
All right, well, we'll have to talk to him. I had your number before, Law, but let me put you on hold, make sure I have that. Thank you, and then we'll try to get a hold of him. Thank you. Just amazing information. Let's go ahead and jam in some more here. Glenn in Canada, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing, Alex? Thanks very much for taking my call.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm a former math, physics, and calculus teacher, and when I was young, I was told that history was written by the victors, so I chose not to study any history, thinking that it might be skewed, but you opened up my eyes to history within the last 2 years, and I started trying to teach people what you taught me, and people would place me in the category of being a ranter.
Pretty soon, if you know how to tie your shoelaces, you're a conspiracy theorist, thought criminal.
Yeah, well, up in politically correct Canada, which is the politically correct capital of the universe, I think, anything that's not status quo, you're called a ranter, and that's a very bad thing. But something, an antidote that I got that I just wanted to share with you because it might help you, and you may have heard of it because you've so well studied, but it's a quote by Jiddu Krishnamurti. You ever hear of him?
I've heard the name, yes.
Yeah, it says, it is no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, it's just a thin, cliched stereotype to say, hey, I don't trust the government that's been caught lying thousands of times. They're like, how ridiculous, how you're crazy. Oh, I mean, it's a joke. And I personally, those people don't even matter. Just move on to those that do. I mean, people get kind of get insulted when some soulless, pathetic, jabberwocky minion of the New World Order giggles at you through their mind control. I mean, I would feel sorry and move on. That's a casualty. I appreciate your call. Let's give this person 30 seconds. Let's go ahead and talk to Nick in California. You got the final word on KOMY 1340. Go ahead.
Next time. Hey, 15 miles from me is a town called San Juan Bautista. It's run by a sheriff from Texas, and under his nose there were under more than 50 meth lab houses. And this town is probably 1,500. It's a little mission town where it was visiting to the native sense. So the guy who led Obama out onto the stage to be sworn in is more the person behind the corruption as far as preventing the...
And who let him out? I forget. Who let him out? I forget.
He's a little guy. He's like Murdoch.
Oh, so we won't be able to hear him.